You know, we've all known someone who had probably heart trouble of one sort or another. Maybe somebody in here has had a heart problem, had a heart attack. Well, you know, the heart is a vital part of the human anatomy and spirit, without which we would surely die. There are many kinds of hearts. The heart of gold. Those people exude the very best of everything good. Those with a big heart. We all know people like that. These are those who would give their shirt off their back at the drop of a hat. The purple heart. And those of us who have been in the military, we know that is denotes those that during the time of war have went above and beyond the call of duty, the call of valor. And then we have the broken heart. This speaks to those for some reason or another through the loss of a loved one, the breakup of a close relationship, which leaves them sad and depressed and sometimes totally devastated. Then there's the diseased and damaged hearts. Many cases a person with heart disease can have considerable success correcting this heart disease through the use of a stent, which is a mesh put in the artery, which allow better blood flow to the heart and to the brain, or by the way of a bypass using arteries from a vein, from a leg, or another extremity of the body to accomplish the same result. Then we have the extreme circumstances where a doctor will resort to a heart transplant. A heart transplant, or a cardiac transplant as it's called, is a surgical procedure performed on patients with an end-stage heart failure or coronary disease. And this is usually is accomplished by taking the heart out of someone that may be in an auto accident or something, been braided in and can no longer survive, and they've taken the heart and they've matched this up with a surviving person and replaced the bad heart with the good heart of someone's deceased. Well, the world's first human heart transplant was performed in 1967. That doesn't sound like that long ago, but it's been a while. By Christian Bernard on Louis Wyszkanski, if I got that right, at Groote Schuur Hospital in Cape Town, South Africa. Now, over the years since then, there's been notable recipients. And I'll go through a few of these. Well, at the time of his death in August 2009, Tony Huseman was the world's longest living heart transplant recipient, having survived for 31 years. He received his heart in 1978 at the age of 20, because after viral pneumonia had severely weakened his heart. He died, but not of heart failure. He died of cancer. This operation was performed at Stanford University under the transplant pioneer Dr. Norman Shumway. Kelly Perkins is another person. She climbs mountains around the world to promote positive awareness of organ donation. She was the first recipient to climb the peaks of Mount Fuji, Mount Kilimanjaro, Matterhorn, Mount Whitney, and Cajon de Arenales in Argentina in 2007. This is 12 years after her surgery. So it can have a very positive effect. 22 years after Dwight Cronin's heart transplant, he was the first recipient to finish an Ironman competition. I can't even run out to the mailbox. You know? Fiona Coote was the second Australian to receive a heart transplant in 1984 at the age of 14. The youngest Australian. And in the 24 years after her transplant, she became involved in publicity and charity work for the Red Cross and promoted organ donation in Australia. And here's one, at least most of the guys in here will know, famous race car and manufacturer Carroll Shelby. He just died here recently this year. Received a heart transplant in 1990. He died May 10th of this year, making him one of the longest living heart transplants. And I believe he is late 80s or maybe early 90s when he died. Golfer Eric Compton qualified for the PGA Tour at age 32 after his second transplant. So sometimes the first one doesn't do too well. You have to have a second one because we have rejection. And then there is former Vice President Dick Cheney received a transplant in March of this year. Of course, these transplants are not without a risk of rejection by the host bodies, meaning they must, for the rest of their lives, take anti-rejection medication in order to survive. Now, I've discussed a little about physical heart transplant, and it's not my intention to delve into the depths of the transplant surgery itself. But my message is on a more serious condition, serious heart condition, the spiritual heart. Spiritual heart disease that all human beings have to one extent or another. This condition is concerning the inner thoughts and how we react to those thoughts, which in turn dictate our conduct and actions. Conduct can be either action or inaction. When something happens, do we take a proactive stance and do something, or do we ignore it and let someone else take care of it? If you're driving down the road and see a house on fire, are you going to stop, make sure that everybody in that house is out and safe, or call 911? Or on the other hand, are you going to just keep driving and say in your mind, someone else has probably called 911, and the fire department is on their way, and I don't need to do anything? Now, personally, I couldn't do that, because as I was driving down the road, I'd have something nagging me in the back of my mind here, Tony. You should have done something, whether it had already been done or not. You know. Well, King David knew that he had a heart problem. If you turn with me, please, to Psalms chapter 51. Go to verse 10. And David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Well, verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. A contrite meaning being remorseful or having feelings of guilt because of someone's sins or shortcomings. These, O God, continuing, you will not despise. King David was remorseful and repented because of his affair with Bathsheba and was petitioning God for his forgiveness. We're also to rejoice. You don't have to turn there, but Psalms 105:3 says, glory in his holy name, and let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Well, if we are truly seeking to repent and working on being obedient, we'll be able to rejoice. Yet God excuse me, knows that all mankind has this heart condition. If you turn with me, please, to Jeremiah 17. And how does he know? He tells us in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 12, he tells us, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Brethren, God knows every one of our doings. He knows whatever we're thinking right now. You know, I gave a sermon a couple of weeks ago about, are we listening? Are we listening, or are we thinking about what we want to have to dinner tonight? Or what are we going to be doing tomorrow? We get sidetracked. It's very easy to do. He knows our every doing. He's the master surgeon that someday will give us all a heart transplant. He tells us in Ezekiel 11, we can turn there, please. He tells us what he's going to do and when he's going to do it. Ezekiel, that he's going to do this after he brings his people out of captivity to this world. In verse 16, it says, "Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, although I have cast them far among the Gentiles or out in the world, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where which they have gone. Therefore, say thus, says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and will give you the land of Israel. And then they will go there, and they will take away all the detestable things and all the abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh." Just like the physical heart can get what is called hardening of the arteries and not be pliable, causing undue stress on the heart, we have a spiritual hardening of the arteries. It's the spiritual heart, which is left uncorrected, can cause spiritual death. But in God's infinite mercy and wisdom, He will perform a spiritual heart transplant, taking out the hardened arteries, the stony heart, replace it with a pliable heart of flesh. And then, as in verse 20 says, "that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." We've had a brief look at a physical diseased heart and the possibility of rejection by the host of the donor heart, again leading to physical death. Yet God's word tells us of a time when we, mankind, will receive a new spiritual heart directly from God. Yet God's word tells us of a time when mankind... please turn with me, if you would, please, to Hebrews. Hebrews 10. I'm going to begin in verse 16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." And then he adds, "their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." In verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and from our bodies washed with water." Verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as we see the day of Jesus Christ's return approaching." Well, brethren, we all know we have this condition, and hopefully us in the church are already beginning to have that transplanted heart, learning God's way and putting it in our minds and keeping it where we know where it is all the time, and we can be recovering and doing as God expects us to do.